struggling at 233 with the bat, but drives one here deep to left center field. Back at the wall. Watch this one. It is out of here. Second home run of the night for the Rays. The other one by Desmond Jennings, and this one gives Tampa Bay a 3-1 lead. Breaking ball hit the center field deep. Going back, Mike McCoy. He's turning. He's looking. It's gone. Longoria has homered again. And again, leading off an inning. That's 24 and 76 RBIs and counting. And Tampa Bay goes out in front 4-1 here in the top of the sixth.
Leadoff home runs by Evan Longoria in the fourth and the sixth. Those combined to the play of the game. Brought to you by Rogers On Demand. Watch the Jays live from anywhere, online or on the go, at RogersOnDemand.com. Henderson Alvarez had a pretty good day except for three pitches. You just heard two of them. Desmond Jennings had the other one, a hanging slider in the third inning. The head out of the park for the Rays' first hit of the night. A two-run home run because John Jaso was on base having been hit by a pitch. And you don't know how hard it was for me not to say John Jaso was on base-o right there. Home plate umpire Bill Welke originally saying that it didn't hit him, but it very obviously didn't. He changed the call to the correct one. Alvarez had retired seven in a row before hitting Jaso. He then struck out Reed Brignac before Desmond Jennings hit his two-run homer to give the Rays the lead for good. Brett Laurie solo shot the only Blue Jays run of the game. That came with one out in the second inning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. Taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Our intrepid reporter, David Alter, just tweeting that Jose Bautista has declined to speak to the media following the game. Tonight, right now, down there in the clubhouse as we speak. I am hopeful that we'll be able to get Bautista on the pregame show tomorrow, and we can talk about the events of this evening that saw Jose strike out three times and after the third one get run from the game for letting Bill Welke have it from the dugout. After a while, actually, it took a while. But then we heard a huge noise that came from field level. I thought something had fallen over in the stands. And it turned out it was Jose slamming the back wall of the dugout with his bat, and he then screamed a couple of less than pleasant things at the home plate umpire and was thrown out of the game and decided to shower the field with his elbow pad, bottle of water, a bat, all kinds of stuff before that was over. Didn't light a fire under anybody. The Blue Jays managed three singles from that point on in a 6-1 loss to the Tampa Rays. This is the Jays Talk. We're taking your calls across the country to the bottom of the hour at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. And then we will extend the Jays Talk all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 and fan590.com. Now, to the phones we go, and Rob in Toronto, you're going to lead things off.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good, Rob. Go ahead.
My question is this. Well, actually, I have one question at one point. When do you think it all comes together for the Jays as a roster? I mean, tonight you had great pitching, but no offense. Like you said, coming out of the break or before the break, they go through spurts, they score runs, and then they dry up. When does it all come together and they pitch when they pitch and they hit when they hit, and you see some that, and you see them stringing together some wins? When do you see that all coming together?
Nobody knows the answer to that question, least of all me. No one knows. It
because
takes.
They have the pieces there, I think.
I think so too. But the pieces are very young, and the pieces take a long time to come together, and it takes a while to get really good at baseball. And you know, very rarely do you see a team full of guys who are 25 years old anchoring the offense being really good, because it takes time. And it does appear as though the pieces are here. Most of the pieces certainly seem to be here, but no one knows. No one knows when it's going to come together.
Do you think it's going to come together? Do you see this ballpark coming together and you can say definitively that this is the core?
I think you can say definitively that this is the core that they want. Yeah, I mean, will Rasmus develop into the guy they want? Will Snyder or Thames develop into the guy they want? Will Adam Lind get back to what he was 2 years ago? Will Brett Laurie develop into the guy they want? Those are all questions that we don't know the answer to. You're hopeful. You put the best talent together, and you hope that the talent emerges. But no, you never know until it actually happens.
But even with a veteran like Lind, I mean, you saw him on fire in July, and then this past month, or as far as we've gone into August, he's been cold. His averages dropped. Everything seems to be on the downturn for him. And I would say even Bautista. I mean, tonight he showed his frustration, and I would have liked to seen somebody get out there and put a few hits together, load up the bases, and at least make some kind of run for it when you got a pitcher who's pitching a pretty good game at 21.
I'm not going to disagree with you, except to say that Adam Lind's big month was May, not July.
May.
But the thing is, I mean, Lind's a veteran, I guess, because he's been around a while, but he's also a guy who's far from proven. He's only had one really good year in the major leagues. So it's not like Adam Lind is a guy you can depend on to be a guaranteed big-time middle-of-the-order bat. The fact of the matter is, it's a process. And the fact that the Jays are a game above 500 right now in a year like this, I think speaks volumes about the talent that's here.
Okay, well, thanks for answering those questions.
All right, appreciate it. And I'm sorry that I can't give you an answer. But I will say this, and I know it kind of goes against the whole talk radio thing. Anyone who says they know when the Blue Jays are going to get really good and when this team is going to be able to contend and when these guys are going to reach their potential, anyone who definitively says what time it's going to happen is a liar, because nobody knows and they're just making stuff up. Adam is in Sudbury. Hey, Adam.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Still good. Go ahead.
There's a question on Jose Bautista. Do you think he's getting a bad rap around the league for being a little too gung-ho out on the field?
I hope not. Well, gung-ho out on the field.
I mean, like, you know, like how John Danks, went after him, hitting the home run and him staring down all the pitchers. Do you think he's getting a bad rap for that?
Not for that. No, I don't think he's getting a bad rap for that at all. John Danks went after him after he popped up because he was so upset with himself for missing the pitch, and Danks thought he was showing him up. But I don't have a problem with him staring down Ivan Nova or staring down anybody who comes high and tight to him and then he takes him out of the ballpark. Or even last night, if he was upset with Luke Hochaver the other night, if he was upset with Hochaver quick pitching him and he stared him down as he trotted down to first base. I don't have an issue with that at all. I think the fact that he has become aggressive with umpires.
Yeah.
I think that could be an issue.
Yeah, do you think he's trying to protect his strike zone by being a little too animated with the umpire there?
Protect his strike zone? No.
Yeah, kind of shrink his strike zone a bit, you know what I mean?
I don't think so. I think he has a very clear idea of what's a strike and what's not a strike, and he expects that if he thinks a pitch is a ball, it will be called a ball. And it doesn't happen nearly enough for his liking.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right. But a lot of guys mutter something quietly or don't say anything or take a walk and then come back into the box. But he's actually engaging a lot of umpires in some pretty deep conversation about how much he doesn't like their calls. And to be frank, I'm quite surprised that he hasn't been ejected from a game long before tonight. And tonight was certainly a lot more than he's ever done before. There's no question about that. But, yeah, I wonder why he's so aggressive with the umpires and if that's actually doing him any good. To Laura in Etobicoke. Hello, Laura. Welcome to the Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I have a question and a comment.
Right.
My question is, how many games does a rookie have to play before it's a full season? For example, Brett Laurie, next season, will he still be a rookie?
No.
No?
He won't. If you play in, I think it's 45 games, but I know it's 130 at-bats. If you get more than 130 at-bats, you're no longer considered a rookie the next season. And Laurie already has 69 at-bats in 20 games, and there are 32 games to play. So there's no chance. If he stays healthy the rest of this year, there's no chance he'll stay under 130 at-bats.
Oh, that's for sure. And that'd be good to see because he's so, refreshing to see, you know, his excitement and everything.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to hold back. Yeah, he'll be out there every day all season long, regardless of Rookie of the Year considerations for 2012, for sure.
That's fantastic. And my comment, because you've said, I think, in the past, some of the powers that be listen to your show. My comment is just basically that I'm disappointed in the Blue Jays organization and Rogers, whatever, in their decision to air horror movies on the Jumbotron during games.
Movies on the Jumbotron?
Yeah. Have you not seen them? Last season it was Nightmare on Elm Street. This season it was Final Destination. And
like, you mean like promos for those movies?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I just think it's inappropriate because, like, I don't like that kind of stuff, and I'm grown up, and I can't stand it, you know. And whether it's a Junior J Saturday, which I hope they would have the sense not to air that on a Junior J Saturday, but even then, all throughout the season, there's kids at those games, and I mean, if they're doing it for increased revenue, they might want to consider that it makes me mad, and I might not want to come anymore, and I'm certainly not going to bring kids because I don't know which game are they going to air it, and I don't want to expose little kids to that. So they might want to, you know, think about the increased revenue versus the lost revenue of people that aren't going to come. And there's people like myself who are voicing an opinion, but how many people, like if I'm one, there's, what, 10 or 15, you know, that just won't come anymore. They'll be like, that's disappointing, and it's inappropriate. And, you know, so how much money are they going to lose in the future, you know? And
okay, yeah, no, I understand. I understand, and you're going over the same point again, but your point is made, and if they're listening, and I'm sure somebody is, if not more than one somebody, they will definitely take that into consideration. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the passion with which you speak on the subject, Laura. Thank you very much. The phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. But before we take the next phone call, John Farrell was not here today. He left late last night in the ninth inning of the ball game last night, complaining of pain in his left side below the rib cage. We were all awfully worried, and certainly there was the thought that this might be heart, and that would be horrible. He has been diagnosed with pneumonia. And so he's not at the ball game today. May come back tomorrow, may not. Don Wakamatsu, who is the Blue Jays bench coach and the former skipper of the Seattle Mariners, was filling in for John Farrell tonight during the game. He also filled in for John Farrell in the post-game news conference. And here are his thoughts.
Well, it's not exactly the kind of game you want to give John in his absence, first off. But you try to look at some positives, and for me, I think Alvarez is going to be real good. You know, he showed some power stuff tonight. I think it's a little bit of a dual-edged sword when you ask a young kid to try to develop a slider. I thought he threw some good ones, but he also made a mistake on the two-run to Jennings. With Longoria, again, you're trying to teach guys to get ahead in the count. He left him up a little bit, and Longoria got him twice in lead-off home runs. But you're talking about, and even Carreño, you know, giving up the leadoff home run. But you're talking about two 21, 22-year-old kids out there, or young kids out there trying to develop a little bit, who both got a chance to be pretty special. Again, with Lori, you know, looking at the power numbers that he's put up since he's been here, some of the maturity, especially off a guy like Shields. We've had trouble with him the last couple starts. I think he's given up two runs over 20-something innings. You know, so he was awfully tough again tonight.
Can you explain from your vantage point what happened between Jose Bautista and the ump, and what sort of fueled something we don't typically see from Bautista?
Well, what makes him special is he's so competitive, you know, and obviously he thought some of those pitches were borderline or out of the zone, which put him in kind of in a hole against an awfully good pitcher. We went into this game fully aware of what he's done against us, and so I think there were some emotions flying, and guys were competitive, and I think obviously with the strikeouts it got to him a little bit.
When Jose swung the bat against the dugout wall, were you concerned he might have caused some injury to his hand? That was quite a nasty swing.
Yeah, again, I mean, this is one of the premier hitters in the game, and he thrives on a little bit of emotion. And, you know, he wanted to go out and compete tonight. And obviously it got to him a little bit. But, you know, there's other times where he's come in when guys don't see it. And he's an aggressive player. He's going to try to beat you. And, you know, obviously we don't want that to happen. But it's what makes him a competitor.
What was the explanation on the Jaso hit by pitch?
Yeah, you go out and you argue that he made the right call and he was adamant for two or three seconds or minutes after that. But he had said that Jaso showed some swelling and it was already starting to turn blue, so he had to give it to him. So, but, you know, you go out and argue that he made the right call in the first place. And did that injury happen before, or was there even a mark there? It's a difficult call, but obviously he felt that there were some marks on there that caused some bruising.
So there he is, Don Wakamatsu, doing a fine job in the post-game news conference. You'd think he'd done it before, and obviously he had a few times as the manager of the Seattle Mariners. Filling in for John Farrell tonight, and unfortunately for Don Wakamatsu, just weren't too many buttons for him to push as a manager. When your team doesn't do much offensively, there's really not much a manager can do. And the Blue Jays lose 6-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls. So 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. So Wakamatsu doesn't have an issue with Jose Bautista being a little over aggressive, a little too angry. He mentioned that he's a competitor, and that's part of his competitive side. Didn't even say that it might have gotten away from him tonight, which it did. Claudio is in Woodbridge. You're up next on the Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. I just want to start off by saying great job you do every night on Jays Talk.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it a lot.
I just have a couple of quick questions I want to ask you. I'm a longtime Jays fan. I want to start off with, you know, what's your impression on how come the Jays don't use Rajay Davis when I know he's injured, but when he hasn't been injured, why is he not our everyday leadoff man?
Because he had an on base of about 260.
I agree with that, but over the last few years, if you look back at his stats with Oakland, he's the one who made things happen. He was always getting on base. He's one of the best base stealers in the league. I understand the average is a little low, but when you got that kind of speed and that kind of weapon, you know, isn't that what a leadoff guy more or less is all about?
Except for the fact that you can't steal first, yeah. And you know what? You can't steal first. It doesn't matter how fast you are if you're getting out three-quarters of the time. And that's what was happening to Rajay Davis this season. You love to use the speed as a weapon, for sure. You know, absolutely on that count. But the truth of the matter was, he was getting out a lot. And you can't have that at the top of your lineup if you want to be successful.
You know, you're right. I've watched over the last few years a lot of Oakland A games. And, you know, the Rajay Davis on the Jays now compared to the Rajay Davis over the last 2 years completely is different. But I just think with that kind of weapon, you know, he's somebody you should stick to. Drop a few more bunts down, do whatever you got to do. But I hear what you're saying, okay?
And if he's going well, I have no issue at all throwing him in the leadoff spot. In a heartbeat. No problem.
You know, you have Davis first, Escobar second, Batista, Lind, and so on. I mean, it starts off a lethal lineup.
And that was the plan going into the season. But unfortunately, Rajay Davis got hurt on opening day. And from that point on, he was never able to get it going.
And my second quick question for you, Mike.
Yeah.
I like the direction the organization's going. I like the team. I like the hitters. I really feel that there could be something special going on here. The one thing, you know, I'm not a fan of it all, and I just don't understand. Other than Ricky Romero and Morrow, really, truly, who else do we have as any other, you know, serious type of threat, big-time pitchers that can win us a game against New York, against Boston? Like, I know we're starting all these young guys every day and I guess seeing what they have, but in the organization, and I'm going to hang up and listen because I know I want to hear your expert opinion on it, really, truly, honestly, other than those two, do we have to go out and maybe get a few guys in the offseason? Because I don't see anybody with any hope, really, you know?
You didn't like the kid who pitched tonight? 21-year-old who throws 97 with a killer changeup and a slider that's getting there? He didn't impress you? Oh, you're hanging up and listening. I hate when people hang up and listen. I get flack from people online about cutting people off, but I want to have a conversation. I don't want to hang up and listen. In order for the Blue Jays to be championship contenders next season, they need to bring in some pitching help. But the plan is not to be a championship contender next season. The plan is to be a championship contender every year for a long, long time. And in order to do that, you got to let your young players develop. Henderson Alvarez has a phenomenal arm, and he pitched tonight, and he still has yet to have a bad outing in the major leagues. He gave up the 3 home runs today, but otherwise, basically untouched. Luis Perez has looked very, very good out of the bullpen and even better in his one start, though I'll grant you it's only one start. Kyle Drabek has amazing stuff and an incredible arm. And as much as people are willing to pull the chute on him, fans, that is, there's nobody in baseball who doesn't think Kyle Drabek is going to be a star pitcher in the major leagues at some point. You just don't know when that some point is going to be. There are kids on the way up like Deck McGuire and Chad Jenkins and Nestor Molina and Drew Hutchison, and then another wave underneath them. And if you can get 2 out of the 10, then you're doing awfully well for yourself, and we'll have a very good pitching staff, again, for a very long time. There is a ton of pitching here in Toronto. It's just not all developed yet to the point where it's ready to go out there and be a great rotation. And even with that, I would take Romero, Moro, Cecil, Alvarez, Perez over the 5 guys that the Yankees are running out there right now. Brady is in Vancouver. Let's head out west for some Jays talk.
Okay, I want to preface my comment by saying I think the Jays are on their way. Like, they're a few pieces away, but the core is there, and I can see it. Like, we're getting close. It's the closest we've been in a long time.
Okay.
I like Jose Bautista. Great player. The power, he's not going to hit 54 this year, but the average has gone way up. His on-base percentage is off the charts. He's a fantastic player. He is the leader of this team. And it is starting to happen 2 times a series that he's barking at the umpires.
Well, I think it's happening more often than
that. There are a lot of young kids that are very impressionable. Brett Laurie, Lind is, he's old enough, but there's a lot of guys, your outfielder, Snyder, that you're bringing up, Thames, a lot of young guys, very impressionable. And if you're going to be the leader of this team and want to take us to the next level, look at Derek Jeter. Look at Jason Veritek. Okay, you're going to be barking at the umpires from time to time. It's an emotional game, and you're going to get upset with a call. I understand that. But it's becoming a regular occurrence. And a lot of close pitches that he was getting called balls early on in the season are now becoming strikes. And it's not a mystery why. The umpires are human beings, and they see how you're treating their brethren and how you're treating them. And those calls go against you. And for people to think it's just black and white, balls and strikes, no. Different guys have different size strike zones.
Well, not so much anymore with Questech and all of that stuff. It's certainly not as bad as it used to be. But a lot of the points you make are valid. I don't know about the whole young and impressionable thing, but and the Veritek Jeter thing. But
because you have like 3 guys that are pretty much still rookies on the team, and yeah, this is what they're seeing on a regular basis.
Right, but it goes beyond that.
You know what I mean?
The problem is not that Brett Laurie and Colby Rasmus and Eric Thames are watching Jose Bautista get upset with the umpires every night. The problem is that Jose Bautista is getting upset with the umpires demonstratively too often, and that's a well-made point.
And
he's not doing himself any favors.
No, he's not, and that goes around the league. They all talk. They're friends. A lot of these guys have been umpiring for 15, 20 years. They know the guys around the league, and like people send text messages, like trying to figure out what is going at the bottom of this. And I don't think the Jays are going to become an elite team until he can it a little bit and start, like, you got to kind of suck it up. You say to the umpire under your breath, you're terrible, but you don't go to the dugout and when the camera's on you, yelling and barking, and it's happening way too often.
That's the first time I've actually seen him yelling and screaming from the dugout. Usually, really? what I don't like, and I appreciate the call, what I think is happening too often is that he's stepping out, walking back, having conversations with the umpires, and he's not doing himself any favors. And that's what it comes down to, is that he's not doing himself any favors. And hopefully, we'll be able to talk to Jose prior to the game tomorrow, have him on the pregame show, talk about this a little bit, and see from his perspective what's going on. And if he thinks it's helping, or if he thinks that it might be hurting, or well, just to get his perspective and his analysis of the situation. Right now, we're going to step aside for a second. We will come back and check out the scoreboard. We have to let the network go. At the bottom of the hour, but we will continue. We will extend our Jays talk. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. As a prelude to what's going to be a scoreboard, we can tell you that Darnell McDonald is pitching in the top of the ninth inning for the Boston Red Sox right now. The Blue Jays fall 6-1 to the Tampa Bay Rays. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Sorry, boys, someone's just been ejected from the game, and I think it might be Jose Bautista.
Now, Bautista has thrown his bat, helmet, and shin guard, and now throws a water bottle out toward the plate umpire, Bill Welke.
Jose Bautista getting run right there in the sixth inning. He struck out for the third time in the game, and included in that strikeout, and it was a swinging strikeout on a ball low and away, a 3-2 pitch. I think it was the 1-0 pitch was behind him. Might have been the 1-1 pitch. It was behind him, and I don't know if that made him angry or what, but after discussing it with Luis Perez and Henderson Alvarez in the dugout for a few seconds, he tried to ram his bat through the back wall of the dugout and then yelled something untoward home plate umpire Bill Welke, and that was enough for Welke. He threw him out of the ballgame right there, and then a little bit of a shower of water bottles and bats and stuff on the field, elbow pads, and Jose Bautista was done for the day. We are not done. We are Extendo Jays talking it up all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern time at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590, and we are going to start the Extendo with John. Welcome aboard.
How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I got a comment here. It's not completely baseball, and if you might have a response to it or not, I go to a lot of Jays games. I'm a big fan of the organization. I have to say I'm pretty disappointed this week with the Jays organization. They pride themselves on being such a Canadian organization. Tomorrow afternoon, we've got a state funeral for a pretty important leader in Canada. You'd think that would be enough to perhaps push a baseball back. But then throw in the fact that the actual state funeral is only two blocks from the baseball diamond. I'm actually pretty surprised that the Jays haven't considered pushing back the start time of tomorrow's game, given that there's going to be thousands of people coming downtown tomorrow, let alone the fact or the fact of being respect.
Okay. I have to tell you, and this is no disrespect to Jack Layton at all, it never even occurred to me that the Blue Jays should change the start time of their game tomorrow. Yes, you're right, it's a state funeral. It's a couple of blocks away at Roy Thompson Hall, I think at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I don't know, other than saying, you know, he was a wonderful municipal politician and the leader of the official opposition of a government that hasn't sat yet. I don't want to take anything away from Jack Layton's accomplishments as a politician, but
absolutely. I mean, politics aside, I'm just giving it a focus.
No, and I don't even mean his politics, it didn't even occur to me, and I don't think it would have if you hadn't brought it up. I don't see anything wrong with the Blue Jays continuing to play the game as scheduled, but you're certainly entitled to that opinion, and I'm sure there are a lot of other people who feel that way. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Thomas is in Toronto. You're up next on the Extendo.
Hey, Mike. quick thing. I mean, I think there's been some this year, especially. There's been some merited promotion of certain players in the Blue Jays organization, and there's been some unmerited promotion of some players in the Blue Jays organization. Travis Snyder is one of them.
Unmerited,
I mean, I've heard you all year rave about Travis Snyder and how he's going to be a good hitter.
Yep.
Ray, and him coming up and how his swing has changed, where his swing has not changed.
I never said his swing changed.
His swing has not changed at all. You know, there's been Zach Stewart was a big, you know, was promoted highly in this organization at one point.
Okay, I didn't understand what you meant by promoted, but you're talking about
in terms of
hype and stuff,
a lot of,
as opposed to in terms of making it to the major leagues, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what? We can all sit here and say, you know what, the Blue Jays are this close. They're not this close because there's still a lot of holes to be filled here in Toronto. I mean, the second baseman that we picked up for Aaron Hill and Johnny Mack, I mean, we don't know where this guy's going to be in 5 weeks. It's an audition. We don't know what's going to happen. He had a lousy year in Arizona, and if he doesn't pan out, then that leaves us without a second baseman.
Uh-huh.
And there's
even if he does pan out, it might leave them without a second baseman. He's a free agent.
Exactly.
But so was Aaron Hill.
That's an important position that we need to fill within the offseason. Then we don't know what's going on in the outfield. There's one good arm in the outfield, and the rest, we don't know what's going on because there's up and downness in the outfield. Colby Rasmus, he's okay. He's not a sure shot. He's okay. Same still needs to figure out how to lay out the high fastball. So there's nothing concrete. What is the excitement about? We see some potential, but nothing that's going to for sure compete in 2012.
No, there's nothing that's going to for sure compete in 2012.
What was that?
There's nothing that's for sure going to compete in 2012 here. You're not wrong.
Mike,
but that
my
doesn't mean you shouldn't be excited
you,
about the talent that's
to
here.
You is, why is it that the Jays cannot compete or even finish at a level of respectability over the 500 mark, and Tampa Bay can? And Tampa Bay,
the Blue Jays have finished over 500 three of the last 4 years.
I'm talking about this year.
The Blue Jays are over 500 right now.
How much games?
123 games.
No,
how
I'm
many
talking
games?
About
131 games.
I'm talking about this year.
They are one game over 500.
Over 500 are they?
Yeah, they're one game over 500.
And Tampa Bay, who shed a lot of payroll this year, are almost 11 games over 500. Or, I don't know, 12 or 11.
They are 12 games over 500.
This, to me, is unacceptable.
Okay.
Tampa Bay shed a lot of payroll, and they're getting younger. They always get younger.
Yeah,
and they know how to manufacture runs.
But they're still nowhere close to a playoff race. And so, if the Blue Jays were in the position that Tampa Bay is in right now,
There'd be a lot more people at the Dodgers,
and
I'll tell you that much.
No, there wouldn't. If the Blue Jays were right now on August 26th, 7.5 games out of a playoff spot, everyone would say, this is a terrible team. Why do we keep having this mediocrity? This is awful. When are they going to compete
so
for a playoff spot?
How come Blue Jays are so far out, and everybody's saying that this is a great team, and, you know, well, basically this team is on the verge. So 7.5, they'd say the same thing?
No. I'm not saying that at all. I think you're missing my point. What I'm saying is that if the Blue Jays were 71-59 right now, which would be good enough
with this young rebuilding team.
Well, with this young rebuilding team, they don't have a chance to be 71-59. And the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, on this young rebuilding team, they've got veterans like Johnny Damon and Casey Kochman and Evan Longoria and B.J. Upton.
Longoria's not
lineup.
Really a veteran. He's still
in,
young.
What, his
he's still
fourth
like
year?
Years into the league.
He's in his fourth year, isn't he? I think he's in his fourth year.
What, 22? How old is he?
I don't know, 25 or 6. I can find that out for you. That's pretty easy. But I would say that there's no way he's under 25. Regardless of that, you're right. The Tampa Bay Rays lost a lot of guys in the offseason, including their entire bullpen. Evan Longoria will be 26 in 6 weeks. And they're still doing quite well. But the quite well is not even close to good enough to compete in the American League East. So,
and I'm saying I'm willing to bet that Toronto fans are raving about these Blue Jays.
Yes.
Would take that over should take that over this.
Well, because Tampa Bay is also a very good, very talented young team with an incredible young pitching staff, and they should be happy with what the Rays are doing. And I appreciate the call. I don't want to go around in circles with you anymore. Here's the thing. The reason people are excited about the Blue Jays, hopefully, is not because they believe they'll contend next year and they think they're going to win the World Series next year, but it's because they see that they're building a core where it's very conceivable that everyone on the field has the potential to be an all-star. You're right, second base is up for grabs. Kelly Johnson's a free agent at the end of the year. Aaron Hill was going to be a free agent at the end of the year. We don't know what the Blue Jays are going to have at second base next year. But Adam Lins had an all-star season, even though he didn't make an all-star team. Yunel Escobar, same thing. Brett Laurie has the potential to be an all-star. J.P. Arencibia has the potential to be an all-star. Jose Bautista's been an all-star. Colby Rasmus certainly has the potential, even though you think he's just okay. He's okay at 24, coming off a year where he was terrific, and the sky's the limit for him. And I understand that people don't see that. And I understand that people get frustrated when someone at 23 or 24 isn't performing the way they think they should perform given the talent. But when you look at the talent, when you look at the young pitching, there is every reason to believe that the Blue Jays are moving in the absolute right direction and are putting together one heck of a team. Now, whether that translates to them actually having one heck of a team in 2012, I don't know if it does, because it's still going to take a while. But that's what people are excited about. And if you're not happy because it's not happening now and because you don't see it's going to happen next year, then you're not going to be happy, because nothing's going to happen to change your mind about that. We have to go for an update, because it's Jeff Rahoman, and he wants to talk to you and tell you what is happening in the world of sports. When he is done talking, we will talk to you some more. It is the Extendo Jays Talk on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
The 2-2 pitch. Slider, a hanger hit high and deep to left field. And this one is going to get out of here. A two-run home run on a 2-2 hanging slider. Desmond Jennings unloads his sixth on the season, and now just 16 RBIs as Tampa Bay takes a 2-1 lead.
And that was all they would need, although they would get more. Three more home runs in the game, two of them by Evan Longoria, both off of Henderson Alvarez. And then Joel Carreño gave up one to John Jaso, Jingleheimer Schmidt. It was the first time that Joel Carreño has been scored on in his major league career. He's now pitched 5 1/3 innings and given up that one run. And then Matt Joyce doubled on a broken bat, little nothing down the left field line against a shift to lead off the ninth against Wilfredo Ledesma. He went to third on one wild pitch and scored on another one. And 6-1 was the final. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Blue Jays. Brett Laurie's home run, the only scoring for your Torontos tonight. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Extendo Jays Talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And back to the phones we go. Out to Whitby. Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Love your show. Listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
A few little things. Cito Gasson, haven't heard his name in months.
Nope. Just he was here for Roberto Alomar Day.
Right. Aside from that,
yeah.
I just wondering what his role is with the team now and what kind of influence, if any, he has on anything going on at ground level.
His role on the team is to play a lot of golf.
And good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and good for him. You know what? He spent a long time here, and he was the skipper of two World Series championship teams, and there is nothing wrong with a lovely golden handshake for that.
Fair enough. So he's not really doing
anything
baseball-related at this moment?
No.
Okay, so did they just...
He's there if they need him.
...title to keep him on the payroll but not have any...
He's there if they need him, and I think that's what his consultant role is all about.
Okay. Spring training, Dunedin, that kind of thing?
Well, he's there if they need him. If they want to pick up the phone and call Cito, then Cito will answer the phone. Otherwise, he's playing a lot of golf.
My main question.
Yes.
I'm a longtime fan of the Blue Jays. I watch as much as I can and listen to almost all the games.
Excellent.
I prefer, I think, like a lot of fans, to hear the ball game, Jerry and Allen, as opposed to no disrespect to Greg Zahn and to Buck Martinez. I just think that Jerry and Allen do a fantastic job. So what I do...
And
you, of course.
Thank you.
Given. That goes without saying.
All right. But I'm glad you said it anyway. And it should be noted that Greg Zahn is doesn't really do the color in the games on TV. It's Pat Tabler, Zahnie and Tabler both do a lovely job.
That's right. And Tabby's not too bad.
I he'll be glad to hear that.
It's much more exciting hearing Jerry and Allen and watching on TV. And my problem is, as everyone probably knows, there's about a six-second delay.
Yes. Do you have picture-in-picture?
Whatever legal reasons or whatever reasons there are.
Do you have picture-in-picture on your fine television?
Pardon me?
Do you have picture-in-picture?
Do I? Are you asking me?
Yes, I am. Because if you do, and you have Rogers Digital Cable, then what you can do is on your picture-in-picture in the little tiny window, you put it on channel 904, and that has the radio feed from the fan, and you can hear us and watch the game on TV. I don't know if that's synced up, but it probably isn't. So there is some device that you can use to sync them up, but I don't know how you would find that. You get used to it. I mean,
make it available to their fans. It would make it. I think a lot of people would listen to the game and watch it on TV. This way, Rogers wins both ways. They got the TV on and they got the radio station on. So
yeah, but you're not listening to the TV.
No,
so I don't know how much you're winning.
Another feed, and that all helps the ratings. They see it's on, so you know.
I will suggest, Steve, to the high foreheads, that they dedicate a channel to the broadcast of the game with the telecast of the game with the radio broadcast call underneath.
Perfectly synced. That would be awesome.
I don't know if they
would agree with me.
The high foreheads have not listened to me for anything yet. So, yeah, I wouldn't hold my breath, but I will suggest it.
And one other small thing, if you can do me a little favor. As much as I love listening to Jerry and Allen, I just have one little thing that kind of irks me whenever someone hits a ball that looks like it's going to go out. Allen says, watch it at the wall. Well, we can't watch it at the wall if we're listening to you. I think he's got to come up with something a little better.
Maybe he's talking to the outfielder, though. Have you ever thought about that?
Well,
he could be.
He's talking to us. We're listening to him. He's not talking to the outfielder.
He might be talking to the outfielder.
Watch it at the wall. And
yeah, he does say that sometimes.
Kind of thing, or it's gone. And I don't know. I just think he should.
All right.
Somehow massage it into a way of having to make a better call. Because for the listener, I don't know, it doesn't do anything for me. And it's a small thing, but I love everything else they do. It's a great program, and so is the Jays Talk.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. And I'll bet you that Alan is listening right now. And he's... Well, you know what? It's been 5 years. You're the first person who's ever brought that up. So let's hope that it's not a huge issue. But I would wager that Alan just heard you say that. So there you go. Yeah, Tom Young is right. He says that the television advertisers wouldn't be terribly happy with the radio audio. Although they get to hear our commercials and see their commercials, that wouldn't be so bad. So,
that's true.
Yeah, that might work.
Combined buy.
A double buy. That's right. Look at that. We have just made history right here. Right here on the program, thanks to Stephen Whitby. We're going out to Flesherton, Dimitri.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good. Where is Flesherton?
Question for you. Pardon me?
Where's Flesherton?
Near Collingwood.
That's an awful name for a place. Is there like a rendering plant there?
Come and visit sometime, Lake Eugenia.
I'm sure it's gorgeous. I'm sure it is. And I don't mean to disparage the town.
No, you're not. I'm a transplant there anyway. Hey, question for you regarding Bautista's tirade. Do you consider there's any chance he could be suspended for that? And if not... I know it's up to Major League Baseball to make decisions. What's the limit? How far do you go before you do get suspended for throwing things onto the playing field?
Yeah, I doubt very much he gets suspended for it. It wasn't huge. I mean, he didn't make a spectacle of himself. He threw a bat and an elbow pad and a bottle of water and stuff. Maybe he gets a game. He definitely will get fined. But, you know, you've seen the guys do a lot worse and get a game or two. He didn't engage the umpire physically at all, anything like that.
I don't know what dinner's like at your house around the holidays, but I kind of did think he made a spectacle of himself to some extent.
No, it's you've never been to my house. That's the thing.
cool.
Yeah, no, he didn't engage the umpire physically. He didn't run out onto the field and start screaming at people. Again, I'd be surprised if there's a suspension, but I would not be surprised if there's a fine.
Right. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Enjoy Flesherton. Doug is in Sudbury. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Very well, Mike. I just wonder, I was kind of thinking about Mike Flanagan. I'm just wondering, do the Blue Jays have any, what's the word I'm looking for, idea to kind of respect his memory isn't the right word, Mike, but honor him in some way?
There was a moment of silence here prior to the game yesterday.
Okay.
That was a nice little tribute to his memory, but I think that's the extent of it. Mike Flanagan was a Baltimore Oriole. You know, he spent a few years here. I do realize that,
but I also wanted to let you know that I like listening to the games quite a bit. And one other little question, Mike, if you'll forgive me, it's the first time I called.
That's so all right.
If it sounds stupid, I'm sorry, but...
There are no stupid questions, only stupid people.
Okay, I'll just leave that one alone.
All right.
But I just wondered, you know, this going back a while, of course, when the Blue Jays won those two World Series.
Yes.
Now, I've often wanted to ask a smart baseball man like yourself, how come then that they were able to keep up with the Yankees and the Sox and all that? Was the payrolls about equal then, or...
The Blue Jays were the highest payroll team, actually, in one of those years, 92 or 93. The Yankees didn't become the ridiculous, crazy, stupid spenders that they are until about 2002 or 2003. And, you know, we're talking about back then, you know, the Blue Jays sold out every game here for three, 4 years in a row, 4 million people a night, every night, tons of revenue. An ownership group in Labatt's that was willing to spend, you know, because the Blue Jays were then what the Leafs are now, except they were actually a good team. The Blue Jays were a license to print money around here.
I see. I didn't know that. I knew that the Blue Jays won the World Series twice in a row, and I just wanted to know. But, Mike, you know, I want to say one other thing that Alex... is a great general manager, and I think he's going to be a young Pat Gillick. I do believe he'll turn things around.
Well, he really does seem to be turning things around. Absolutely. Doug, I appreciate the call. Thank you. And don't be shy about calling in. Tom Young points out to me that I said they got 4 million people a night in here. That would have been amazing. I would have loved to have seen that. It didn't quite happen that way, but 4 million a year... although you know, you never know how many people are in each hotel room. There could well have been 4 million people in here one night, maybe. Aaron is in Toronto. Aaron, you're on the Extendo Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Oh, excellent. How's the family?
Another time. I've got a question for you that I'll get to in a second that may promote some chatter. But I do want to say that I do love the way the Jays are right now. I think that Colby Rasmus and Brett Laurie in the next 5 years plus will be the best center fielder and third baseman in the major leagues, respectively.
It's certainly a possibility.
My question for you, though, that, again, might promote some chatter amongst our listeners here. If I was to give you 10.5 as the over-under for Laurie's home run total this year, what would you say?
I think at this point you'd have to go over, wouldn't you? I mean, they've got 31 games left. He's played 20 games and he's hit 5. So he's certainly on pace to hit another, 7.5?
Yeah, so, I agree. I mean, I would go over, but I just thought that might...
I'm really impressed by his power, you know, and I wasn't sure about it because He didn't hit that many home runs last year in Double A. I don't think he hit 20 homers playing all year last year, but he hit like 18 triples, which doesn't surprise me now, having seen him, because he can turn a double into a double for somebody else, can often be a triple for him. But he's got serious power.
He's got that odd power where it's like that guy somehow muscled it out of the park. Like, he doesn't have that Batista. Like, it's gone in a second. He hits those pop flies, and they just go. Like,
A couple of them have been, but he's hit a couple of serious home runs, too, out of the five.
Well, I agree, but it just seems like when that guy swings the bat, it just seems to pop right off there just on muscle alone or something. It's like I'm a big mind guy. I think that he just believes that that ball's going out. And
yeah, I don't believe in that. I'm sorry.
Well, fair enough. But I would give him the over. I thought that might get a little chatter going on here for us.
All right. Appreciate it. Anything to inspire chatter is welcome. Thank you, Aaron, especially with 3.5 minutes left in the show. John is in Newmarket. John, welcome to Extendo.
Hey, Mike, thanks. I won't ask how you're doing. I promise I wouldn't do that.
Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I really appreciate having me on. Just got a quick question. Do you think maybe next year the Blue Jays could look at maybe getting another number four hitter, maybe move Adam Lind to five?
Well, I think that the year that Adam Lind is having, outside of the big month or 6 weeks that he had, doesn't warrant him being a cleanup hitter in the lineup of a good team. And it's unfortunate. And I know it's in there. And we saw it in 2009. We saw it for an extended period earlier this year. But he is really in a bad slump right now. And I'm a believer that slumps can feed into themselves and can get worse just because you're trying to get out of them and you're trying something else, and it just kind of piles on itself. And that's what's going on with Adam Lind right now. He looked like he was coming out of it, but then he's right back in it. But Alex Anthopoulos, John Farrell, they know well that you cannot have a cleanup hitter with an on-base percentage around 300. And right now, Adam Lind is under 300 or 300 on the nose. I mean, he was 1-for-4 tonight and came in with an on-base of 301. He is probably going to hit 30 home runs this year. He may drive in 100 runs, and 30 homers and 100 RBIs with an on-base percentage of 310 was good enough for Joe Carter. But, you know, it doesn't work that way anymore. And you got to have a guy who's contributing all around if he's going to be your cleanup hitter. So I think that I don't know if they're actually going to go out and actively seek a new one next season, but I think they realize that that certainly Adam Lind as a four hitter is not set in stone.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the first time calling this. Don't wait around so long. All you longtime listeners, call already if you haven't yet. We're going to wrap it up with Sam who's in Ottawa. Sam, you got about 45 seconds. Make it good.
Okay, first-time caller.
All right.
Two quick points
or
questions. Maybe you can answer. One is you see a lot of the Boston, New York games or the game of the week, and they show the strike zone.
Yes.
And Toronto doesn't seem to show that on their game.
Yeah, I think they sometimes do. They sometimes don't. I don't know what the deal is with that.
It's sort of hit and miss. I don't know why, but is there a reason they don't show it consistently? I don't know if it's a...
That's a question.
Advertising thing?
I cannot answer. I don't know.
Okay. Number two would be, is there any ways for the players to see that inside on the
field
to see if they were balls or strikes?
So absolutely. Yes. A lot of guys go right back into the clubhouse and take a look to see was that a ball, was that a strike. The Blue Jays have Captain Video who tells them, Robert Bomander, who does a great job back there. And he's got that tape queued up ready for them to look at in between at-bats. So very definitely they do, and they know where that ball was. Thank you for all the calls. Appreciate them all. Apologize to those of you to whom we could not get. But the music means the show is over. We will be back 12:30 tomorrow afternoon for 107 First Pitch, Luis Perez against Jeff Niemann. Jays and Rays continue. Thanks to everybody. Good night.